to be praised, and he is worthy of that. And he inhabits the praise of his people. You say, man, I really want God to be a part of our services. Then get busy praising him. Singing the praise of God is not a formality. And if we approach it that way, it won't have life. But if, man, we'll just cut loose. I love the freedom that our leadership team has to express their excitement over God. Man, and we don't all need to have the same personality. I mean, if Brother Nate got up here and started acting like me, some of y'all would stroke out. I'm like, what's happening? It's not about the personality. Brother Nate or Brother Max or Brother Vi, I mean, he and I are the same, minus Samoan and not Samoan. But, I mean, it's not about the personality. It's about the Savior. And we all ought to be passionate about that, man. And it's good when we do it. It is. It is so good. And then to Miss Peggy, we love you. And sure are thankful for you and for your children and grandchildren, all y'all being here. I want you to know it's an honor to have you with us. We appreciate you being here. And we value you very much. All right, Joshua chapter 5, verse number 10. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with the circumcision. They had been wandering in the wilderness under God's judgment, and the issue of circumcision had been neglected. And so we dealt with how God corrected that, told them that they needed to correct it, and how that making progress in certain areas doesn't excuse neglect in other areas. And before they could continue on in victory, that had to be corrected. So now we get to verse number 10. I'm just going to read three verses. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, which was where the correction of the circumcision took place, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn, of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Like, wow, that was good. No, but it is good. It is. I feel like since we're talking about food here, I just want to give the title this. Yum. I'm not. What you see represented here and what we'll deal with are two very unique phases in the transition from one to the next. Transitioning from a phase of judgment to a phase of victory. And this is what you see in both phases. God provided. So here's the title, Provision with Purpose. Provision with Purpose. God, we trust you to bless. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Our teen girls are singing this morning. I love our youth. Man, I love them. Love them. So thankful for them. I appreciate the way that so many of you are raising your children. And I'm so thankful that we have the privilege to invest in them as a church family. To those that are regularly a part of this church, I hope when you look at these teens, you don't look at one or two of them and say, well, those are mine. I hope you look at this whole group and say, these are ours. And they're going to sing a song that Brother Vi has a custom in the youth department. And he is no respecter of persons with this. When a teenager attends the youth department for the first time, they have to sing this song. I don't know how he makes it successful. I don't know how the youth department is still growing with that custom. But it is because of the way he does it. It's awesome. And this song is called I Love the Old Bible. It's old, but it's relevant. And so they're going to sing that now.
From heaven's white throne, God's wonderful blood.
Lord for that. So thankful for the Word of God. I didn't know the Team Boys were providing the choreography, and so that is new. I'm not sure how far we're going to take that, but man, that's a good job, guys. Look, we're not here preaching our philosophy. We have Him. If Jesus were a book, it would be this book. And if this book were a person, it would be Jesus Christ. We have Him. And we love and are thankful for the Word of God. And that's a blessing. All right, so I'm sure you knew it was going to come up sooner rather than later. But I now have a daughter in college. Yeah, actually, one of Miss Cook's great-grandsons, he started at Heartland this semester as well. And so maybe Dan and Alex are talking about all the ways their parents failed them in the coming months. I don't know. But we made an intentional decision when we were dropping off. I know y'all think that I got in that parking lot and just sobbed uncontrollably. And that I was just a pathetic mess of emotion. That's how I felt. But that's not what I was. It's not what I was. And it was on purpose. And Andrew and I talked about this in our, even with our family, we talked about this. We are not going to treat the stages of growth and development as though they are tragedies. I'm going to do that. It's okay to miss. You want me to tell you the hardest part? No, I'm not going to tell you the hardest part right now. I'll save that later. So you say, Pastor, did you cry? There were some tears, for real. And, I want you to know Jason did not disappoint. He continued to be the brother that he has been, even there in the parking lot. And so he wasn't weeping like everybody else. But no, Jason was very sweet. Jason was very sweet. But as we dealt with all of that, and then we're just standing there in our last family huddle for a while with all 10 of us. And the Lord willing, there will be more family huddles down the road, but the last one with all of us together for a little while, this is what I said to my daughter and to my other children, sitting out in the back of that parking lot under a tree with some tears in the eyes. This was the idea. We've raised you for this. Amen. We raised you for this. Look, I'm not excited about all this, but this, and while there's sadness, we have raised you to live life for God. And we want God to use your life to make a difference in whatever way He sees fit. It's a great moment. It's a hard moment, but it was a great moment. And just in those moments, sitting there in that parking lot, I could see her when I first held her. This is amazing. Like, if I'm emotional, it's not because I'm sad. I'm amazed. Held her that first time. And then now to see her and put my arm around this young woman. It's amazing. And then I reminded her of this. You better not mess up. We provided for you when you were helpless, so that you could one day live your life with purpose. That's good. And then I had a sermon. No, I'm kidding. No. We provided for you in that moment so that you would reach that stage of maturity and that God would be a help to you. Look, it's okay. We got some men taking care of it. So if just pray in your heart if you need to, but we'll keep on preaching, all right? They'll take care of it. In fact, I'm going to pray. Father, would you please help Miss Shirley right now? I know she's having a hard time, and I sure do love her, sure do appreciate her and her willingness to be here, and just pray that you would, whatever's going on in her body, that you would just give her some relief and just help her to be able to calm down. Thank you for the men that are and the ladies that are helping her right now. Lord, I just pray that you would ease the discomfort. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we love you, sis. All right, we're just going to let them get out there. We have plenty of people out there, so it's okay. They the right people are out there taking care of it, okay? Thank you guys for being so quick to help with that. Here in our text, after dealing with the issue of the neglect of circumcision, and it wasn't primarily a physical neglect. Please get this. It was a spiritual neglect, because the issue of circumcision was a symbol of God's covenant with his people. And so there are areas in our lives that manifest themselves physically that have their root in our relationship with God. As you know, the Passover that we read about in verse number 10 was the celebration of God redeeming the children of Israel out of Egypt and making them a great nation. It's the celebration. The Passover was the celebration of God's salvation. That's what the picture of Egypt symbolizes. It symbolizes the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ and he brought you out of a life of bondage. He brought you out of a life of oppression to sin. He brought you out of condemnation under the law, and he gave you life and freedom and hope in Jesus Christ. This is interesting. Even in a land of hostility, even in a time where there had been war and there was coming war, even in a time where they have been physically, they've gone through a very painful procedure and they are now recovering and healing from that, they are obedient to observe and remember the redemption of God. Now, this isn't the main point, but please make note of this. Never get so busy in your life that you fail to be thankful for the salvation that Jesus Christ has given to you. It's so easy in this American culture, in this culture of the rat race of constantly do, 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 have, be, get, experience, all of this, that we fail to stop on a consistent basis and simply remember that the most valuable thing we have and the greatest hope that we have is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so make sure that even in the busyness, even in the bustle of life, that you are giving attention and thought to being grateful for the salvation that we have. Never get so consumed with the demands of life that we don't take time to be thankful for his blessings. Isn't it easy to only focus on what we need and to neglect praising him for what he's done? It's so easy to constantly be focused on, God, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this. And it's okay to tell him those things. And it's okay to look to him for those things, because he tells us that we have that freedom. But we don't need to be people who only get what we want to then go on to the next thing. We need to look back and consider, God, you have done so much for me, and I am so thankful for that. That's why it's important to consistently be attending a church. If it's not this church, then some church where the Bible is faithfully preached. You need to consistently give God attention, and we need the regular reminders of his goodness in our lives. And so they take this time in a season of life where they are advancing, where there has been war, where there has been this restoration of some things that were neglected, where there is all of these different moving parts. They give time to celebrate and to honor God's work of redemption in their life. But then the text makes what seems to be a very sudden and unrelated change. But it gives attention to the dietary provision of God in these two separate phases. As we mentioned, in the first phase, they spent about 40 years in the wilderness wandering around under the judgment of God. It's not that God didn't know where they were. Have you ever driven in circles until you figured it out? Like, well, I turned right at the last stop, so I'll turn left here. And then maybe something will click. You ever done that before? God wasn't lost. Like looking at like, God, where you at? No, God knew where they were. They were in a place of judgment because they had rebelled against him, because they had refused to follow Moses and obey God, and they complained and they rebelled. And so God said, okay, I'm going to put you in a holding pattern, and for the next 40 years, you are going to wander in the wilderness until everyone from 20 years wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But even in judgment, I love it. Even in judgment, God still cares for his people. Look, you're foolish to think that bad decisions don't have consequences. But you're also foolish to think that because you've made a bad decision and you have to reap some bad consequences, you're foolish to think that God removes any interest in you and that he no longer loves you. No, God loves his people, whether they're right with him or they're not right with him. And in the wilderness, and what it didn't begin under judgment, but it continued under judgment. While they're in the wilderness, they didn't have the ability to plant crops. They didn't have the ability to plow fields. It was a wilderness. It was a desert that wasn't going to provide for them in that way. And then because of their wandering and because of their being constantly or consistently on the move, they weren't able to build farms and to sow seeds and to reap crops. And so when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, and it began those couple of years before they came to the promised land, that year or two on their journey to the promised land, they wake up one morning and they find this wonderful piece of food that the Bible calls, and it's referred to here, manna. It was a wafer of some kind that had a sweet taste like honey. And the idea is this, it's angels' food. Literally, every day, and then on the eve of the Sabbath, there would be a little bit more that would fall so that they wouldn't gather on the Sabbath day. Every morning, there was food for them to have for that day. All right, I love being able to imagine. Like if I could pick what's going to fall from heaven today. It wasn't that kind of thing. But it was what they needed every day. Man, we ate on Tuesday, but we're out of food. And they weren't supposed to take more. God didn't do leftovers because those spoiled really quick. That's not a message against leftovers. In that particular case, you just take. It was a matter of faith. You take what you need for today. And tomorrow, I'll give you what you need then. And for 40 years, there was manna. There was manna on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just over and over and over and over again. Every day, there was food for them. Please get this. This provision was full of grace and mercy. They were complaining, they were rebellious, they were defiant, and they were wandering under judgment. And yet every day, God provided food for them. But this is what we can't lose sight of. Even in bringing them through judgment, God was taking them somewhere. Oh, please don't lose sight of this. I love this with my children. My kids don't see it all the time. But even when I have to correct them, I'm not just, I should not, you should not be correcting them just because you're upset with them. In fact, you should not correct them because you're upset with them. You should correct and discipline and train in order to take them somewhere. And even under judgment, God was trying to take his people somewhere. And so they arrive at the promised land. The rebellious generations have died off the scene. And these new generations with faith and submission before God, they are now on the cusp of beginning to fully conquer and take over the promised land. And think about how their faith has been demonstrated. They cross the Jordan River in obedience to God, and then they submit themselves to correcting the neglect of this issue of circumcision. And now this generation that's obviously increased in maturity and in faith, they come to this place to where they celebrate the Passover. They've gone through the obstacle of the Jordan. They've submitted to the correction of circumcision. They are now celebrating the salvation of God in the Passover. And they observe the Passover, and then something happens. They begin somehow to have access to the fruit that is in the land of Canaan. Now remember what scripture tells us about the land of Canaan. That it would be a land that was flowing with milk and honey. The idea is to paint a picture of how prosperous and rich that land was. It was a land that was full of resource. It was a land that was full of abundance. And it was a land where God's people could prosper more than they ever thought possible. I like it. God wants his people to prosper. Now, it doesn't mean God wants you to prosper in all the ways that you want to prosper. I would be 6'2" in a Ferrari. You like that, Caden, don't you? Yes. No, it's not you get to decide how you're going to prosper, but we believe this about the goodness of God, that his design for our prosperity is far better than any designs we could come up with on our own, and far more enriching than just temporary goods that are not going to last anyway. God wants his people to prosper. He can do that physically, but it's more than just physically. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless his people in so many ways that are beyond our comprehension. And so they come into this land, and they almost immediately, they see the evidence of just how bountiful it can be. Now, the commentators have different opinions on this. The Bible doesn't state it clearly. It just states that they had access to it. But somehow, there was obviously agriculture and farming that were taking place before they got there. And then as God gives them victories, as was and continues to be the customs of warfare, that to the victor be the spoil. That's not always a good thing, but sometimes it is a good thing. And here in this place, they're coming into this land where God is judging the inhabitants of their land because they've rejected him. And yet, even in that, God is showing them mercy like he did to Rahab the harlot. And so they're coming into this land where people who reject God have sown these seeds and are reaping these crops and laying up in store. And now through the leadership of God, they have access to the crop or to what's been stored up from the previous year. Like they have it. And so the Bible says they eat, in verse number 11, they did eat of the old corn. Verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the whole of the old corn. It doesn't mean that it was rotten. It means that it had been stored. It had been laid up. And it's not what was just harvested, it's what had been harvested, and now they are able to consume it. And so we see a very significant, subtle yet a significant change. The manna stops. Up until that day, there was manna every day. And then they wake up the day after the Passover, no more manna. And they have these resources. But these resources, while they were provided for them through the labor of others, eventually it will be necessary that they be provided through their own labor. You see, God can provide in a couple of ways, and he's not obligated to provide the way that we want him to. God can provide in one way by just dropping it in our lap. I got some brothers and sisters here who know what I'm talking about. It's like, God, I have this big need. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then just, man, it's good. I love it when that happens. But a lot of times God will make provision through ability and opportunity and through the investment of others. And it would be great if every day we just woke up and like, oh, there's another $10,000. Oh, there's another $10,000 or $50 or whatever it is you need. But sometimes, many times, in fact, most of the time, God will provide for us as we learn how to get a job. And we learn how to show up at work. And we learn how to be diligent and do things well. And God makes provision through ability and through opportunity. And so you have them. They have lived for four decades. They have lived for several generations wandering in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they were helpless. But now they are transitioning through a judgment process that refined them. They are transitioning into a place of where they are now going to be provided for, but now it's going to require labor. Now it's going to require work. Now it's going to require some sacrifice. But with that, God is going to increase them and bless them and give them abundance far more than they could have ever imagined. It was still his provision. But the purpose was to provide in the wilderness to help them survive while they went through this judgment process. Now it's to provide for them so that they can prosper and they can advance. the big point is this, that through every phase, God was faithful to provide. It's not the specific point, it's the big point. Through every phase, God was able to provide. He was able to provide when they were immature and faithless and helpless. And then he was able to provide in a different way when they were mature and had faith and were moving in the direction that they were supposed to move. He provided in different ways. And he does provide in different ways. But in every phase, God was faithful to provide. All right, let's talk about this for just a minute. We're almost, stay with me. Like 10 or 40 minutes and we're done. So just stay with me. I'm so glad that God provides when we're helpless. That's what salvation is. I'm not being irreverent. You know what God did with salvation? He just dropped it. Through the coming of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross and rising again, and offering redemption to anyone who will believe in him. Salvation, you know what that is? That is manna from heaven. Wandering around in the wilderness and you're lost in sin and you're on your way to hell and you're under condemnation, but Jesus, boom, he comes down and he offers it to you. Salvation isn't a church. Salvation isn't baptism. Salvation isn't a religious ritual. Man, we got some people getting baptized tonight. We got some more people joining the church tonight. I love it. I'm excited about it. But that's not salvation. Salvation is you trusting in Jesus and he gives it all to you. That is manna from heaven. Give it to you. But we can be helpless in other areas too. You're helpless to save yourself. You don't get saved because of your effort. You get saved because of his effort and your faith in it. But we're helpless in other areas. We're helpless when tragedy comes. When our hearts are broken and our breath is taken away. And there is nothing that anyone can say that will ease the hurt. We're helpless. We're helpless when the person that has stood beside us for decades is now laying in a casket. We're helpless when a doctor tells us there's nothing that we can do right now. We're helpless when someone makes a decision that breaks our hearts and is out of our control. We're helpless. We're helpless sometimes when we have failed and we're ashamed. It's hard, isn't it? But even in those moments, there's manna of grace that is tailored to your need for that day. There's grace when we fail him. There's grace when we're afraid. There's grace when we're lonely. There's grace when we're hurting. Every day, there is provision when we don't know how and we don't know what. And somehow, God gives us just what we need. Need it. God provides when we are helpless. God provides for us when we're rebellious. Hey, let me just talk about that for a moment. Praise God for mamas and daddies who don't give up on their children. Oh, glory. Praise God for church families that don't give up on people. Hey, we don't give up on people. No, we don't condone everything, but we don't give up on people. One, because we are one. People. And we've needed people to not give up on us. Number two, Jesus doesn't give up on people. Jesus loves people. I don't think you're convinced. Jesus loves people. No, and the whole point of the prodigal son was not about the prodigal. It was about the father who would always take the prodigal back. God doesn't give up on people. He loves them because he paid such a great price for them. It's obvious that he loves them. And even when we're rebellious and stubborn and feeling sorry for ourselves and mad at the world and got a bad attitude towards the authority or got a bad attitude towards somebody at church, got a bad attitude about something about our pastor or whatever it is, or we're mad at our wife, which it happens, or we're mad at our husband, which we understand. I look in the mirror sometimes and I'm like, man, Andrea is really mad at me. And then I look up and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Okay. God still provides. He provides manna. He provides it through his people. He provides it. Man, I love it, Brother Max. He provides through the interaction with other godly people that want what's best for us and that encourages us. God gives us provision when we are in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. But here's the danger. God doesn't provide for us in the wilderness so that we can stay in the wilderness. There are wilderness times. There are. We go through them. And what's amazing is that within the life of a church, there will always be someone in some phase of a wilderness journey. If we're the right kind of church, it is a gift from God to have hurting people, to have people that are hurting for a wide variety of reasons, and there will always be someone in some place of the wilderness journey for different reasons. Some wildernesses that they caused, some wildernesses that someone else's behavior caused, some wildernesses that have no explanation, but through the allowance of God, these difficulties or tragedies have come into their lives. And God provides for them, and we ought to be a church through which God can provide for them. Somebody please say amen to that. We want to be a church through which God provides his manna of grace in the lives of people who are on their wilderness journey. We want to be that church, Brother Vi. We want to be that church where people in the wilderness can come here and find that there is forgiveness, find that there is hope, find that there is purpose beyond their abuse or beyond their neglect or beyond their failure or beyond their loss or beyond their difficulty. But God doesn't provide for us so that we might stay in the wilderness. You know why he provided for them those 40 years? So that one day they would get out of the wilderness and begin to take responsibility for being productive for him. God provides for us in the wilderness so that he can bring us to the promised land. But the danger is this. We live in the wilderness. This is hard, but it must be said. If you have failed, you've got to deal with that. You've got to submit to the consequences of that. But then you got to get up and start living your life again. We are not defined by our mistakes. It is good, Brother Richard. We are not defined by our mistakes. Our bad decisions have consequences, but we are defined by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And at some point, you got to get up and start living again. At some point, you got to get up and start serving again. At some point, you've got to stop worrying about what everybody else thinks, and you got to get busy doing what Jesus wants you to do. At some point, as a married couple, you've got to get up and you've got to get going. As you say, man, I've made some mistakes with my children. Well, you can't control all of that, but you can control what you're doing now. And you got to get busy raising them. You can't change the things that you failed at in the past, but you have to move forward. I get it that there is a time for dealing with it and mourning, and there can be consequences that we have to work through. But God didn't provide for us in our moments of wilderness so that we would stay in the wilderness. Get out of it. Start serving and ministering to others. I want to talk to my sisters and my brothers, but a lot of my sisters who are hurting because of the bad decisions of other people. You can end up in a wilderness that somebody else created. Now look at me, sisters, look at me. I'm not ashamed of you. I love you. Love your families. We don't put scarlet letters on people. We're covered in the blood. We don't condone or excuse, but we're covered. And it's not some people's fault that someone else did something bad in their life. And you can be in a wilderness, can't you? Yeah. And I'm not telling you that there's not a time to grieve. I'm not telling you that there's not a time to sorrow and work through. And God knows the kind of pastor that I try to be to people who are in wildernesses like that and give you and be for you everything that you need. And I love it, and it's an honor. But you can't live in that wilderness forever because you're not defined by that wilderness. Jesus bought you, and he covered you, and he protected you. And one day God will use you to be a help to someone else in a wilderness. At some point, you know what we got to say? God, I have scars that'll never go away. But you can still use my life. It's good, people. God gives us in the wilderness so we can grow in the promised land. Talk to you, my brothers and sisters, who got some attitude problems. Say, who are you talking to now? The Holy Spirit knows. I don't actually know. I just know that we're human, and so it happens. Sometimes we get this attitude, well, it's not like it used to be. Or we get this attitude that, well, I don't agree with everything. Or we get this attitude about, and we miss the bigger picture of what God is doing. Yep. That we do. We miss the bigger picture of what God is doing. And you need to come out of the wildernesses that you find yourself in sometimes. And you need to understand that God is still working. God doesn't provide for us in the wilderness so we can stay in the wilderness. God provides for us in the wilderness so he can prosper us and use us and produce through us in the promised land. I'm going to make one more application point and then I'm done. I love this. I am so thankful for this truth. It is God's word and God are so good. You know how much they produced in the wilderness? Nothing. It's like my children eating all my food. No, seriously, I'm trying. I recently met Andrea at Costco a few weeks ago. Like, I had a minute, she was gonna be at the store. I'm like, I'm gonna go surprise my wife because I never go grocery shopping with her. I am a terrible husband for that, but I just don't. It's depressing for so many reasons. And when I go grocery shopping, I forget about budgets and I just start grabbing stuff. Like, we need 10 boxes of chocolate crispy cereal, duh. Then I go in there and I look at all the stuff we're buying. And then they go through the Costco line and they're so happy. They're like, beep, 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 beep. And I'm watching, jing, 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 jing. And I'm like, can we please sell some kids right now? I mean, maybe they'll even let us put them on display at Costco. Who wants Jaren for $5,000? Miss G. Young will. Well, for you, it'll be $10,000. Anyway, okay. Like, man, we got just, dude. And you know what they produce for me right now? Nothing. Their room is dirty. They wet the bed. They get sick. I buy them stuff, and then it breaks. They break stuff. We had this big talk when we moved into our house. So thankful for our house and for God's blessing through his people. And we get in that house, and I walk through it with Andrea before we let the kids come inside the day we arrived. And we were just amazed. And then we brought them in and like, we are going to protect this house. And then a month later, there's a hole in the wall because of boys wrestling. And I'm sure I've done stuff too. And then we patch them up and there's holes where we patched it. It probably has to do with the patching job that went on. I'm not sure. Anyway, you know what my kids are providing right now? Absolutely nothing. But it's okay. For two reasons. Are you ready? It's okay because I love them. I love them. But number two, it's okay because by the grace of God, one day they're going to be like some of you. They're going to have a husband or a wife, and they're going to be raising their own family, and they're going to be bringing their own kids to Patch and Pee Wee at West Valley Baptist Church. Yes, at West Valley Baptist Church. You want to marry my daughter? You're signing a 50-year contract to be a member at this church. You say, well, that may not be the will of God. I just told you. This is fun. You watching online, some squirrel? But one day, hey, can I just tell you? Can I tell you? Hey, please hear me. I just dropped off my daughter to go be productive. It's a long process. But God provides in the wilderness so that we'll be productive in possessing the land he's given to us. So let me ask you a question. Are you still in a wondrous that you long ago should have been out of? You still feeling sorry for yourself about something that you should have allowed God to help you get over? Are you still struggling with bitterness that you long ago should have let go of? Are you still living under the shadow of a mistake or a bad decision? Are you going through right now a wilderness of sickness? Even in that, there is a place of blessing. Even in the valley of the shadow, there is blessing. God provides for us in the wilderness so that he can prosper us and we can be productive in the promised land. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Miss Jess will begin to softly play. I want you to be honest before the Lord. Be honest with him. Maybe the wilderness that you're in is because you're not saved. If you died today, you don't know for sure that you would go to heaven when you die. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there would be someone who would raise their hand and say, listen, I've gone to church services. I believe stuff about God. But if I died right now, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven, but I want to know that. Would you pray for me? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. But I wonder if there'd be someone that would raise their hand. Just raise it up and put it down. I'm not going to embarrass you or call on you in any way. I see it. Thank you for raising your hand. Would there be another one who would raise their hand and say, I'm not sure. Would you please pray for me? Say, I'm not sure. Just hold it up till I see it. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. This morning, what you need isn't more church services. What you need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you'll come forward, we'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can know the Savior. For those of you who gave testimony that you are saved by not raising your hand, are you in a wilderness? You're not. This wasn't a message condemning you because you're in a wilderness. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there would be someone who would raise their hand and say, to one degree or another, I am in a wilderness right now, and I need God's help. Raise your hands up. Yeah, I see them. I see them all over. Yeah. God bless you. He has provided grace. You gotta humble yourself. But God will bring you out of that wilderness. And sometimes we're in wildernesses longer than we ought to have been. Sometimes we're in the wilderness, and at just the right time, God brings us out. And I'm telling you, people, he will in his time. But whatever the wilderness, would you humble yourself and ask God for two things? Say, God, would you give me grace for this wilderness and help me to handle it the right way? But then, God, would you bring me out of this wilderness so that I can begin to prosper and be productive in the ways you want me to be? Father, help us to be responsive to you as you have talked to us. Help us to talk to you in Jesus' name. Amen. While Brother Nate sings, if God has spoken to your heart, you respond to the Lord while we sing.